The Medallion, Chapter 38. Kate tried to relax, but her thoughts kept returning to what Tirith had said about Corvin. Had he eaten so many of those seeds that he could never be trusted again? Everyone deserved another chance. There must be some way to help him to stop. She glanced over at the anteroom door just as a band of light appeared at the bottom. Someone's star must be glowing in the chamber, Tirith or Corvin, or maybe both. Kate got to her feet. Perhaps if she opened both their doors at the same time, then Tirith could talk to Corvin. If there were anyone he would listen to about the seeds, it would be Tirith. Two stars glowed inside. One was Tirith's, but the other was the door where Atea had last appeared. Together, the two sisters might be able to figure out how to help Corvin. Then again, Tirith was interested in Corvin, and Atea was the one who kissed him. Kate faced Corvin's door, and the memory of how terrible he appeared the last time sent a shiver up her spine. She needed their help, even if it meant losing him. Kate touched Tirith's door, and her anxious face appeared. "Kate, I've been so worried about you. Is everything all right?" "Well, I managed to run to your bedroom without Mara getting a good look at my face. She sure is nosy. She's been with me ever since I was young, likes to think she's my mother and not only Terran's." "I saw your mother at the temple." Tirith frowned. "My mother? Madame Torrig. Who told you?" "I didn't talk to her, but Garrick said she cares about you a lot and that you should be careful about trusting your father." Tirith's eyes flashed. "She has no right to judge him. He's the one who abandoned us." Kate nodded at the thought of her own mother leaving her behind. At least Tirith had other family to support her. "I also met your sister, Atea." The frown returned. "I don't have a sister. Do you mean one of the sister warriors?" "She is one of them, but I think Madame Torrig is her real mother." Tirith tried to smile, but failed. "That can't be. They all call her mother. She's the one who looks after them." Kate took a step to the other side of the chamber. "You can talk to Atea yourself. She has one of the medallions." Kate turned and opened the door where Atea last appeared. Morgan was waiting inside. His eyes widened as he stared across the chamber. "Morgan?" Tirith said. "Tirith, I've been looking to talk to you ever since. I was told you died when you swallowed that pill my father sent to free Corvin from your prison cell." Morgan tried to enter the chamber but couldn't. One hand pushed up against the invisible barrier and the other hung at his side. "That pill almost killed me, but somehow I revived in the cool air of the crypt they placed me in. I'm alive, Tirith." Tirith's face grew dark. "Yes, but my brother Terran is dead." "I'm so sorry. I tried to stop him from following your father's plans. The Chief Watcher was on to both of them, but Terran wouldn't listen to me." The ashen color of Tirith's face flowed down over her white dress like an evening shadow. "You tried to take me to the ceremony of the water gods, but you were leading me into a trap." "No, Tirith. I was going to use his machines that controlled the water to catch him in his own lies and expose him to the people. I wanted you there so you could reassure the people afterward and prove you were not part of the Chief Watcher's plans." "Why should I believe you?" Tirith crossed her arms and glared at Morgan. "You have proven you can't be trusted." Kate stepped forward. Tirith was judging Morgan unfairly and she needed to speak on his behalf. "Tirith, look at your dress. Your anger makes it look dirty, but Morgan's robe remains bright. I believe that means he's telling you the truth." Even as she said the words, Kate found herself recalling the voice of the man in the dark cave of the Broken. Someone in the chamber was capable of looking like they were telling the truth when they were lying. Surely it wasn't Morgan. Tirith's arms relaxed to her sides. The lines on her face softened as she looked across the chamber at Morgan. "I'm sorry, Morgan." Tears were slipping down Tirith's cheeks, dripping on her dress and spreading out in undulating lines of bright light that washed away the gray. "There are so many lies being told, it's impossible to know who can be trusted." Morgan smiled. "I wish I could have told you more at the time. I did not think you would believe me if I told you what your father was up to. Now that he is dead, you and I can—" "He isn't dead," Tirith said, glancing over at Kate, her eyes asking Kate if she'd seen her father. Kate gave her head a small shake. "Your father's alive? How can that be?" "He only pretended to drown." She paused. "Now this begins to make more sense. This is why my father wants me to marry the captain of the guard. My own father is using me to gain control of the palace." "You're going to marry the captain?" Tirith shook her head. "No, I'm not. But the captain asked. My father must have put him up to it and made a deal with him." "That's not true," Kate said. When he took back your ring, it was clear that he genuinely cares for you, but he said you were in love with someone else. You accepted his ring? Morgan's voice clearly registered his distress. I was only carrying it on a chain. My father said to keep that option open, but Jorid is the one who kept asking me to marry him. No doubt he did. Jorid's the someone else you're now in love with. Morgan's eyes narrowed and the white cuffs on his robe shrank back to narrow, ragged strips. Jorid believes that together we can bring peace to the core. Huh, that's a good one. Peace from Jorid, the high priest. Morgan spat the words out and the remnants of his cuffs vanished in a snarl of tangled black threads. He's probably in league with your father. Kate lifted a hand toward Morgan. Actually, Jorid is working with the mayor. Morgan and Tirith both stared at her. She should have kept her mouth shut, but when she held the medallion in this room and other people were here arguing, she felt responsible to defend anyone who was being unfairly spoken about. The mayor? Morgan said. Yes, the one from the City of Refuge. He sent his soldiers with Jorid to rescue Tirith in return for a medallion. My medallion? Tirith asked. No, Kate said. Jorid wants the one that glows. She held it up, relieved that the truth was out in the open. We can't know that for certain, Tirith said. Yes, we can, Morgan stated. My brother desires power more than anything, and that desire cost him his wife and child. I believe it will cost him his own life before this is all done. Morgan turned to Kate. Where did you see him last? I need to find him and teach him a lesson. Don't do it, Tirith pleaded. Look at your clothes, Morgan. Now your anger is getting the best of you. Jorid must be dealt with. It's time for justice to be served. You aren't holding the hammer to know the truth, nor the scepter to understand what justice demands, Tirith said. You're just angry because Jorid asked for my hand. Morgan smacked his good hand against the barrier in the door. Yes, I'm angry. The tattered sleeve of his robe fell away in pieces. None of us can see where his heart is really at, Tirith said. Kate can. She has met him here in the chamber before. What was he wearing? Kate looked at Tirith. His clothes were different each time. Sometimes sort of gray, but at other times brighter, especially when he talked about you. He does care about you and Kadir. That is why he's coming with the mayor's soldiers to save you from the rebels. But so is the captain of the guard and all the palace soldiers. Tirith glanced over her shoulder. This is going to be a disaster if I don't get back right away. What are you going to do? Morgan said. Don't get mixed up in the fight. If the rebels believe that I am gone, the fight won't even start. Why don't you hide out in the crypt behind your tent? Kate suggested. That won't make them think I've escaped, Tirith said. I told my guard not to come near my tent unless I called, and I've kept the candle burning so they can see I'm still inside. Kate stepped closer to the door. What if you hid in the crypt and your tent caught on fire? They might think you died or escaped in the confusion, and you could wait in the crypt until Morgan arrived. Morgan nodded. I will come to you just as soon as I can. I give you my word. As he spoke, the hem of his sleeve knitted back together. Tirith nodded. I am glad to see you alive, Morgan. I have missed you. Her door closed as Morgan replied. I missed you too. He stared vacantly at Kate for a moment, then motioned round the room. Which of these is Jorid's door? He was behind that one, but he isn't there now. The light isn't on. That's unfortunate. I wanted to make sure he doesn't get himself killed in this fight. Tirith is right. He deserves a chance to prove his intentions. The white cuffs around Morgan's sleeves returned. He lifted his hands and gave Kate a wry smile. You can't get away with anything in here. Too bad we can't live in the chamber all the time. Kate shook her head. I don't think we could handle the complete truth all the time. Yes, it does make you think twice about your words. He looked back to Jorid's door. Is there any way you can get a message to Jorid? He needs to be warned. I might be able to talk to him like I did with Tirith. Perhaps I can go into his room and speak to him, even though he's not sleeping. Please try. Tell him that Tirith is going into hiding. Tell him we must gather everyone in the chamber, but don't let him know I'm alive. I will find Madame Torrig and inform her of what is happening. Tomorrow night we can meet here again to decide what must be done to restore order to the core. Morgan stared over her shoulder. Have you looked inside that broken door yet? Kate glanced over at the black space. She had no desire to go any closer than she needed to get to her own room. Sometimes a breeze blows through it, and once a rat-like animal with a collar came out and then ran back inside. That would explain how the hammer and the scepter were first taken from the chamber, Morgan said. We must wait until we have everyone gathered to make our plans. We owe you a great debt, Kate. You have done well to bring us together. Now I have hope for the Corps once again." Kate's face flushed. It was embarrassing that she thought he was interested in her when all the time he was obviously in love with Tirith. On the positive side of things, that meant Tirith was no longer pursuing Corvin. "Things are moving quickly. Be careful, Kate. Keep an eye on the broken door, but don't try to go inside it." Kate nodded, closed Morgan's door, and then moved over to Corvin's. There was no way she could bring Corvin here at the same time as the others. She had to get him to quit eating those seeds.